Today's daf in Masechet Sotah, daf Chof Dalet, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah, at the Halakha Perek, at the Chof Gimel Amud Beis, at the bottom. Arusa v'shomeret yavam, lo shotot v'lo notlot ketuvah. Shenemar, asher tiste isha tachat isha. So the whole idea is, at the end of the Parsha of Sota, the Torah writes, Zot Torah takenot, asher tiste isha tachat isha. We need to meet. So that means that what is that adding? It's adding that the relationship had to be a complete relationship and not one that was still waiting to be consummated, like the case of an Arusa or the case of a Shomeret Yavam. So therefore, it's clear that they are not included in the din of Shtiat Sota, but they also will not be Notlot Ketuvah. So in other words, the kinui helps, and we're going to have to see why that would be true. Why don't we simply say they're not included in the entire parsha of Sota, in which case they can't lose their ksuva just because they were nisteret with someone, if the kinui didn't have any meaning. That we'll see in the Gemara. But here we have the pasuk at least telling us why they cannot be shut out. So since it says tachat isha, they have to be totally beneath their husband, so to speak, in the same relationship, so that would not include an Arusa Shomeret Yavam, who still have not consummated that relationship. Now we have another set of issues. And this would be Almana L'Kohen Gadol, Grusha V'Chalutza L'Kohen Adyot, Mamzeret Unetina L'Yisrael, Bat Yisrael L'Mamzeret L'Netin. These are all relationships that are actually prohibited. They're illicit relationships, but they are marriages because they are Yisrael Lavim, and therefore the Kedushin is Chal. So in all of these cases, the din is that they are lo shotot, because as we know, and that's very interesting, because the Sifri says, well, because since it says ki tiste ishto, it means that she has to be ru'uya le'ishut. But the Rambam brings, there's no need for any posuk here. We already know that it says the Vinika, the Ish Me'avon, from which we learned, we're going to see more about, what we've spoken about many times, that if the husband had ever been Boel Bia Asura, so that includes even if he's Boel Abaderech, then the mind is not going to work. So of course they're not Shotot. So by definition, since these are illicit relationships, how in the world could he possibly be Shotot? That's all that the Rambam brings, Allah. Okay, so therefore, in any of these cases, you would have thought here too, why would they not be notlot ketuvah? So all of this we're going to have to discuss. Where does the lo notlot ketuvah come from? Now, as a matter of fact, the next section of our Mishnah tells us there's quite a few cases where we would not be able to be mashka the mesota, but where nonetheless there is no ketuvah. And these are these cases. Elu lo shotot, but lo notlot ketuvah. Ha'omera tmeya ani. So the woman says, I'm tmeya. She cannot obviously drink. And on the other hand, she was over on the kinoi by being nisteret, so she loses her ketuvah. Shebo la edim, she tmeya. If we have witnesses, then of course there's no shetiya, as we've seen many times. Ha'omera teni shota, or she says, well, I just don't want to drink. But she doesn't admit to any guilt. The point is that since she's made it impossible for herself to drink, so therefore she is no way for her to be mevareret avon, and because of that she loses her ketuvah because she was over on the ginui v'stira. The other cases are in a case, but here she's going to take her ksuva. So this is yet another set of cases. Suppose the husband says, I don't want to put her through this, any mashka. Or suppose the husband slept with her on the way to the Bezdin. Shabala bala baderach. In all of these cases, it's not her fault. Why should she not be notlot ketuvata? It's the husband's fault that he cannot be mashka. And therefore, in these cases, although there's no way for her to be mevareret avon, but she would still be notlot ketuvata, but lo shotot. Now, let's get back to general cases. In a general case, a woman is about to drink and her husband dies. So, metu ba'alayim ha'chaloshatu. What's the din of the ketuvah in that case? He can't be mashka her, so what's the status now? She was going to drink. So Beit Shammai says, well, then she's not Lot Ketuva. V'lo shatot. Beit Hillel omrim, no, there's no such thing. Once she is overet on the kinoy and she was in his teret, either she's going to drink or shatot, or she's not getting a ksuva. Now, that's by definition. Since there is no way for her to drink, so for all intents and purposes, she lost her ketuva. We'll see in the Gemara what the machlokas is between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel on this issue. Now, another set. Suppose somebody goes ahead and marries a woman that was inappropriate for him to marry, but wasn't really a surah minatera. Let's take a case. Remember that the Chachamim asserted sleeping with a woman that is your wife, but she is pregnant from before. And if she's pregnant from before from someone else, then the Chachamim asserted you, if that guy divorced or died, but the situation is, the Chachamim asserted you from marrying her because you will not be careful enough about her pregnancy. And you are liable to cause her to, if she's nursing, to lose her milk. And you are liable to cause her to lose the child in the event that you cohabit with her this time while she's pregnant. Maybe get her pregnant again, possibly, and that would make the uber a sandal. We had all of these cases before where we're careful not to allow people to impregnate a nursing or pregnant woman. So there he's being over on an iser. Right? He shouldn't have taken this woman. Or so she's been ekes chavero. So in this case, here, again, there's no way for her to be shota for some reason. Lo shotat. Now we'll see that the idea is that in the event that a woman is not suitable for her husband, then there's no way for him to be able to give her to drink, because she has to be able to be with him. So tain is Rabbi Meir. Chachomim say, I mean, you can't say that she's asura on him. I mean, all the Chachomim said is that they're not allowed to sleep together. So basically, I mean, even though they shouldn't have gotten married, he can be mafrisher from him. And then after the amount of time, that's 2 years for the nursing, 24 months of nursing, after she finishes nursing the baby, so at that point, he can simply take her back. I mean, so why is she not able to be shotot? I mean, even though it says just separate, it's really, according to Moshe Rishonim, that means that he's not allowed to remain married to her. But certainly they're not allowed to continue to live together as man and wife, and he just is supposedly not going to sleep with her. That's not the idea. But in any event, it should not be included in the case of the set of people that she's not an Isha Haru'uya. That's what the Rabbanan tainted to Rabbi Meir. Another machlokas. How about an islandess, a zekina, a she'ena ru'uya leilet? So it could be a woman who was born an islandess, a woman who is postmenopausal, a woman who is not ru'uya leilet because of medications, whatever it was. No, lo notot ketuva v'lo shotot, according to the Tanakhama. Whereas Rebbe Eliezer says, you're not usher to be with a woman like that. So why are you excluding her just because you're not allowed to be only married to her, because you can't have children with her in your mechuyim and period of Arivia? You could have another wife, one wife to reproduce with, and you have another wife that you just have as a wife because you love her. What's the problem? So how can you say that that's included in the set of nashim that are enan ru'uyot li'ishud? I don't get it. Yocholu li'sa isha acheret v'lifrot v'lirbot imena. He could still be married to her as long as he has another woman that he is able to reproduce with. And in all other cases, the rule is shar kol anashim, if they are over on a kinu v'stira, either they're going to be shota or they are not notlot the ketuva. So the two things are interrelated. Eshet Kohen, another dinim here in the Mishnah. An Eshet Kohen is able to be shota, and she is nonetheless muteret levala. Now this seems to be quite obvious. Why not? Why would a coin be different? The Gemara is going to discuss this, and I think you can use your imagination to consider why we might think that the Eshet coin is not included in this whole story. Eshet Saris also can be Shota, and there will not be a problem. Obviously, he was not at the time. He was not a Saris at the time that he went ahead and he married her. So because Lamaisa, I shouldn't say that. First, I should introduce that we're talking about over a year. Actually, we're talking about a Saris, not simply that he is incapable of fathering children, but that he is incapable of intercourse is what we're talking about. So we're talking about, because of that, as Rishonim point out, we're talking about a woman who must have had relations with him at the time that they got married. And then at some point later, he became sterile. And if that's the case, then this is the way I understand, right? I mean, must tell you, there are others who understand the Rashi otherwise. But if this is the case, then there won't be any problem of the fact that he did not sleep with her before the Boel did. We're going to see later on that in any case where we have a sota, there has to have been a relationship, a consummated relationship between herself and the husband before we have this problem with the adultery. Because it's not considered to be included in the sota, because it says, be bal adei ishek, someone other than your husband has slept with you. If her husband has never slept with her, the Torah is not referring to that case. So that's why Rashi puts in the case of the Saris. Okay, others understand what Rashi holds is that a Saris is not considered to be Bia, which is not a whole other sugya. Okay, next. So why do we need this? Gemara is going to ask also, obviously, why should he not? And you can be mekaneh al yedei kol ha'arayot. Even you could tell a woman she's not to be allowed to be alone with her own son. She's not to be allowed to be alone with her own father. Doesn't matter. The arayot that she is muteret to be with, you could create the iser on her with the kinoy. It's not because there's necessarily an iser of yichud. And that's going to end up being the chiddush of the Mishnah, as we'll see later on. Now, the only one that you cannot be mekaneh is if you tell her not to be alone with a katan. Now, the question is, the Parshas is that this is referring to a katan who's less than 9 years old, because over there he's not capable of bia. But there are those who learn that it's talking about over here even under age at all, meaning that he's not bar mitzvah yet, which we'll have to discuss when we get to the Gemara, why it would be Nagia a katan. Plus, anyone that is not an ish, because it says ish ota, shachav ish ota. Now, let's say that he told her, I don't want you to be alone with a zebra, so then that's not considered to be a kinui. Now, there's another case in our Mishnah, a last set of cases, elu shebeitin mekanin lahem. There are cases where the bezdin will give a kinui. What is that? Well, let's say her husband becomes a cheresh, or he becomes a shota, or maybe he was imprisoned, and now he's not capable of giving a kinui, and she is acting very, very pritzis, and it doesn't seem that she's being careful, I guess because her husband is in this state. We're going to talk about that later. So then when we say that Besdin can be mekaneh, it doesn't mean that then Besdin can be mashker her. It just means lo lashkotamru elo leposla miktuvata, that they can give her a kinui and warn her that if she is alone with whoever it is she's been misbehaving with, that she will lose her ksuva. Rabbi Yossi Omer, no. Actually, a Besdin is also able to give a full kinui. And that kinui will work in order to be mashka her, because when the husband gets out of prison, then he will be able to be mashka her on the basis of this kinui. So therefore, even though the pashtas, we have a hekesh of the veheviya ishet ishto and the vekinei et ishto, I should say Hekesh, but it's a continuation of the Kineish Tov Ve'Eviyat Ishto. So the Chachomim hold, look, if the husband has got to bring her to Hashkoa, then he has to be the one who gives the Kinoi. And if that's the case, then that means that the Kinoi has to be given by the same person who's going to be Mashka. That's what Tana Kama holds. Because of that, the Bezdin can only be Mekana in terms of the Ksuva, but they cannot bring her to the actual Mayim, because there it says, Eish et Ishto. And therefore, they also, says the Tana Kama, cannot give a Kinoi that the husband could use for a Kinoi, because it's got to be the same person. Rabbi Yossi obviously does not hold of that comparison, that it has to be the same person who gives the Kinoi as gives the Hashkoya. So now let's take a look at the opening of the Mishnah. It says over here that Mishtahu Deloshati, an Arusa or a Shomeret Yavam, is unable to have Hashkayat Sota. Okay, but she loses. But she loses her ktuva. So what does that mean? Hakinui mekanila. Now you would think that in the event that a woman is excluded from the parsha of Seita, she's excluded. And if she's excluded, so where do we get the din that you could be mekane? The din of being mekane is like tremendous chiddush in the Torah. You can create a situation where she will lose her ktuva because of the fact that you were mekaneh. Where does it say that? It says that v'kinala, but in this case they're not included, are they? I thought they can't be included in this parsha because it says tachat yisheich. So where do we get the idea that you can still be mekaneh anyway, minani mili? Ah, that is an interesting question. And in fact, we have a braita that points out that we have two separate pesukim. Turn her up on it. Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yomarta aliyem. That additional v'yomarta aliyem adds something that we would not have otherwise known. And what is it coming to tell us? L'rabot arusa v'shomeret yavam l'kinui. That actually, they are included in the parsha in terms of kinui. So that would mean that if an arus is mekana arusa, or a yavam is mekana his shomeres yavam, before he takes her, so she will become asura to him. So then if that's the case, why can't he be mashka? So that, actually, we'll see, is a machlokes, masnisim money. So when it says in the Mishnah that a shomeret yavam cannot be shaysa the mayim, that goes only alibra Rabbi Yonatan, the Tanya. Tachat isheich, since the Torah says, va'at ki satit tachat isheich, that's not the pasuk we had before. We had tachat ishavu. We have basically two separate pesukim, remember. One is the Zot Torah Takana'ut at the end of the entire parsha. This is the first part where the Torah, where the Kohen warns her, at ki satit tachat ishech. So over there, the word tachat ishech means that you are fully tachat ishech, meaning that your marriage has been fully consummated. But this does not include an arusa. Arusa is not, she's not with her husband. She's still living in her parental home. So it does not include an arusa who is not tachat ishech. Now, she may be fully married in that sense, but the tachat ishech means more than just the technicality about whether she has a din of an eish et ish. And therefore, we understand that the v'yomarta aliyem includes her in terms of the actual kinui, but the chiyav of shetiyah and so on, that's only where she's fully under her husband's rishos. Now, you might think that this would include a shomeret yavam, and of course, according to our Mishnah, it would. But this is going alib de Rabbi Yoshia, and he specifically includes a shomeret yavam. So, yokol shani motzi af shomeret yavam, you might have thought, you cannot be mashke, a shomeret yavam. That's why the Torah puts in these extra words. Remember, we said, daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yomarta aliyem, there's extra words. Ish, ish, ki tistei ishto. This idea of ish, ish is coming to include even a case of a shomeret yavam. So otherwise, what's the point of adding the additional Ish Divi Rabbi Yosha. Okay, so our Mishnah clearly is not going like Rabbi Yosha, because our Mishnah says a Shomeret Yavam is not Shota. But Rabbi Yonatan argues, and in fact, we'll see now that the Mishnah is going Aliba to Rabbi Yonatan. Because Rabbi Yonatan Omer, Tachat Yishech Prat L'Shomeret Yavam. And no, actually, Atki Satit Tachat Yishech is not coming to tell me the Prat La'arusa, the way Rabbi Yoshia learned. Tachat Yishech is coming to tell me Prat L'Shomeret Yavam. Because apparently, according to Rabbi Yonatan, the most logical thing to exclude with those words of Tachat Yishech is the Shomeret Yavam first. Now, you might think, Otsi Shomeret Yavam, v'lo Otsiat Arusa. Rabbi Yonatan takes the opposite tact of Rabbi Yoshia, and instead of saying that, in fact, it's only Shomeret Yavam and not Arusa, he says, you might think we're only Motsi Shomeret Yavam, but not Arusa, no. Talmud Lomar, that's why we have another pasuk that uses the same language, Zot Torah Tekinaut, Asher Tiste Isha Tachat Isha. Now that is an overall description, again, of needing to be Tachat Isha. So she needs to be fully with the husband. This would include even the Arusa who is not under husband with the set of women who cannot be Shaita. So that's the argument between Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonatan, and our Mishnah is clearly like Rabbi Yonatan. What are they arguing about? Well, obviously, Rabbi Yonatan holds that an Arusa is actually a more powerful connection. Sumar Alima Le Arusa. Because, look, if the Torah is going to be Mamayit, it's going to tell me that someone that would be included, would be who you would think ought to be included, is a woman that the man himself gave kedushin to. And not only that, but if somebody violates their relationship, he's going to be actually chayev skila. So, man, that is awfully serious. And it's a complete marriage, essentially, other than the fact that she's not literally tachat isha. So, therefore, what is the point of the pasuk? A real wife who is not completely tachat isha is what we're saying. Masha Enkein, the Arusa, the Shomeret Yavam, rather, over there, I mean, she's not really a wife yet. I mean, she's supposed to become his wife, but she's not a wife. He never gave her Kedusha. If somebody sleeps with her, they're not going to be Chayv Misa. They're just going to be over on a lav. So that's not what we would understand as not being Tachat Ishek. It's not Ishek, it's the extra pasuk that will include the Arusa. Mashenk and Rabbi Yoshia, Mar Alimele Shomeret Yavam. Rabbi Yoshia says, on the contrary, the Shomeret Yavam, in the sense of Tachat, this is a fascinating machloket. In the technical sense of marriage, we have one issue, and that would be defined. Did you give a Kedushin? Is there a Chiyav Misa? What are the implications of marriage in defining her as an Eshes Ish? But when the Torah uses this new idea of Tachat Ishech, so that means that basically you're already with your husband. Now, a Shomeret Yavam, in that sense, says Rabbi Yoshia, is more with this husband. Why? Because normally, even if a woman is Arusa, and technically speaking, she's a fallacious Ish, but you still require her to be handed over with the chuppah, because the whole idea of the chuppah is the transition from the status of being with her family, and then as we add all those mishnayos of the shluchei av giving to the shluchei abal, the av giving to the baal, there's that additional handing over. That hasn't happened yet. So she's not tachat yishech in a non-technical sense, in a relationship sense, which is entirely different. Therefore, Tanis Rabbi Yoshia, the use of those words, Tachat Yishech, is a completely different way of looking at things. Because the idea over there is that a Shomeret Yavam, there's nobody else involved over here. Nobody needs to hand her over to him. All that needs to happen is for him to consummate the marriage. And that doesn't require handing over. Even Baal Korchai can consummate that marriage. And therefore, she is much more the one who would be considered to be the Ishech, and therefore when it's coming to say it has to be fully, then we're going to cinch it. Okay, that is fully. And it's Gufa, the Arusa, you could say, is not included. But she is considered to be here. So she is Lo Mechasra Mesira L'Chupa. And Rabbi Yonatan? So if Rabbi Yonatan doesn't, I mean, what's happening over here, lost power. Hold on 1 second, please. Don't know how that happened. So Rabbi Yonatan took the pasuk on his own, and he completely ignored the pasuk that Rabbi Yoshia learned to tell me, according to Rabbi Yoshia, that the Ish is coming to teach me about the Yavama. And according to Rabbi Yoshia, yes, the Yavama is really, that's a Tachat Ishech. Well, he didn't learn that. What does he do with that Ish? He has the other pasuk that actually excludes Yavama. So there is no inclusion. So what's this jazz about Ish according to him? He uses that for what we learn in the Braita, the Rabot, Eshet Cheresh, the Eshet Shoteh, and also an Eshet Shi'amum, that over there, the question is, can a Bezdin create a situation of Kinui? So it's coming to tell me, Ish, that in the event that the husband is incapable of giving the Kinui, so then the Bezdin can give Kinui. This idea of the Shi'amum is apparently not included under Shoteh. This is a very interesting thing, because he does not qualify as a Shoteh. Let's say somebody is very depressed. So he's not insane in the way that the Torah defines the nature of a Shoteh, that he's incapable of doing things that are going to create kosher contracts, sales, and so on and so forth. He's not considered to be a Shoteh. However, he doesn't give a damn. In other words, would they tell him, listen, your wife is going, I don't care. He's a Mishulman. So he's unable to respond. So there, the Bezdin is empowered here with this Ish to actually give a Kinui. And according to Rabbi Yoshia, what does he do with the Pasuk of the end? Zot Torata Kenaot, Isha Tachat Isha. What does he do with that? Because Rabbi Yonatan had two psukim that talked about Tachat. One for the Arusa, and one for the Shomeret Yavam. So according to him, they were both excluded. According to Rabbi Yoshia, only the Arusa is excluded. So what does he do with the Tachat Isha? He uses that, Lahakish Ish Lisha, Lisha Laish. We're going to see later on that there's some fascinating interrelationships that have to do with Diyukim in the Psukim, such as what happens if the male is blind, let's say. So there's no because there is no ene. And now that's technicality. But we need to know that that's true about the woman as well. So if she's blind, then that's true about her also. We have the same idea about other diyukim, about yirech hanofelet and things like that. What if she's lame, doesn't have a yirech that could support her? That's true of the male as well. So again, those technicalities we need a hekesh that the Torah tells us that whatever makes it impossible for the husband to be mashka in the event that same physical situation is present in the wife also makes it impossible, and vice versa. So that we'll see later on when we get to the circuit. So that he needs for that hekesh. Okay, so it turns out that for some reason, these psukim of tachat ishech or isha tachat isha, those are absolutely necessary. One or the other is absolutely necessary for the Arusa. According to Rabbi Yoshia, it's tachat ishech. According to Rabbi Yonatan, it was the isha tachat isha. But they both need a pasuk. Now the question is, why exactly would they need this pasuk? Because, I mean, basically what you're saying is, now the only reason that the Arusa, according to both of them, the only reason that the Arusa is not supposed to drink is because of the fact that we have this pasuk, either Tachat Isha or tachat ishek. So alataima dechtive anikroi. But suppose we didn't have this pasuk, what would be the din? I would have said, well, an arusa can actually drink the mayim ha-ma'orarim, but that's a problem because there's a technical issue. Since giyasa revacha brachanina midaroma, atavaiti matnita biyadei, we have a brayta that says, mi bal adei ishech. So what does that mean, mi bal adei ishech? Someone other than your husband has slept with you. At kisati tachat ishech, v'yitein ish bachet shechavto mi bal adei ishech. But in the case where she's only an arusa, then she's not included because her husband hasn't yet had a chance to sleep with her. And therefore, the only time that we have a seita is mishikadma shchivat ba'al bo'el, where the husband was the first one to sleep with her, v'lo shikadma shchivat bo'el ba'al, but not where this adulterer is the first one to have slept with her between the two of them. So therefore, how did we think that we would be able to give an arusa, if it wouldn't have been for the pasuk, we would have given the arusa to drink because she's always going to be missing the technicality of having her husband sleep with her first? Amirami Bakoma, I think that's a little bit of a naive question, don't you? I mean, are we assuming that arusot have not been sleeping with their husbands? I mean, yeah, it's very sweet to believe that, but certainly, it can happen, can it? I mean, we're talking about a case where they slept together before they got to the chuppah. What's the big deal? So, mashkachat v'kagon shibo alea arus bebeit aviyah. That's not considered to be a bia asura. I mean, that's like an inyan of kala below bracha is asura, you know, but it's not a din as Rambam speaks out beferish. That's not considered to be sleeping with someone that's asura, and therefore it's not going to prevent her from drinking. So, fine. So that's the case. Ah, but now you got a problem, baby. Let me tell you. Because, look, the two cases that we were Mamayat or Marba, we were talking about, are the same. They have to be the same. Arusa or Shomeret Yavam, right? We're putting them together. Either the pasuk is referring to Arusa or Shomeret Yavam, Machlokas, Rabbi Yoshia, and Rabbi Yonatan. But you got a problem here. Because if you're defining that the only case we're talking about is where they've already had sexual relations, then tell me what the case is of the Shomeret Yavam. Because last I heard, a Shomeret Yavam that has slept with the Yavam is his wife, period. Okay? So what's the case of the Shomeret Yavam? If the only way we understand the case is to say that they have been sleeping together, then there's no case of Shomeret Yavam at all. Ha! So what are you going to do about that? Brilliant question. Because then what you're saying is, the kavataga be shomeret yavam. So, okay, so then the only juxtaposed case would be kibon shubo aleo yavam bebeit chamia. So she was now living still. Her husband had died. She's living in his family's home. And he slept with her there. But that's not a shomeret yavam. Ha shomeret yavam karitala. This is what you call a shomeret yavam. Last I heard, this is his complete wife. Ishto Malyatehi. Remember that Rav says that the moment that a Yavam does any type of Bia, remember that we had the whole discussion about, back in Yavamas, about a lower level get or a lower level act of Yibum and so on. We had this Machlokas, what thing possibles. According to Rav, it doesn't matter what the level of Bia was. In other words, he had absolutely no intention of taking her as Yavama. He just liked her, and they decided to have a night together, and that neither of them wanted that this should be Yibum. It makes absolutely no difference, says Rob. I don't care how it is that he slept with her. Kona lakol. Even if he specifically wanted to sleep with her only in free love, he is completely her husband. If he's a Kohen, he gives her truma. If she dies, he's metamela as a Kohen. And so on and so forth. He's yorish, or all of the dinim of marriage apply in that case. So if that's the meaning, tell me what exactly you mean about a shomeret yavam who has already slept with her yavam, but is still a shomeret yavam. It's an impossibility. I mean, what you're talking about over here is an oxymoron. So if we can't be talking about a case where they've slept together before, So then our whole argument falls apart. If they, in fact, haven't slept together before, then anyway, you cannot be mashker. Forget about the pasuk. Why are we bringing psukim? It's only possible to be mashka based on the brayta that we just quoted once they had slept together. But once they had slept together, she's not a shomeret yamam. We seem to be locked into a catch-22 over here, says the Gemara. So what's the point? Well, the point is, says the Gemara, that we don't have to agree with Rav, do we? I mean, maybe it's talking about that we're going like Shmuel. Of course, that's very strange. How could we say that the Mishnah is totally in a machlokas amoraim? That we'll get to in a moment. But in any event, we could say that the reason that we need the pasuk is because, according to Shmuel, if a Yavam sleeps with his Yavama without any intent of Yibum, and they just simply are sleeping together, then the din is that lo kana ela lidvarim ha'amurim b'parasha. Oh, it's true that we do have a pasuk that says that she is a wife, because that we have Yevama Yavo Aleha Ulekachalo Leisha, which we said, instead of Yevama Yekachenalo Leisha. So we understand, according to Shmuel, that you need these two steps. It's not all one thing, right? So therefore, Taina Shmuel, okay, Yevama Yavo Aleha Filu Bar Kocha will be Lekachalo Leisha, but for those things that we speak about here in the Parsha. But only those things. It's not really a full marriage. What are the things spoken about in the Parsha? Well, the din of the Yerusha, that he takes over the Yerusha, that it does say Beferish here, and that he doesn't need Chalitza. Yes, that's true. If he wants to divorce her, he can give her a get. But she's not his wife in terms of Yerusha. She's not his wife in terms of the Kohen being Metamela. She's not considered to be kinyona in terms of feeding her truma, and therefore, it would not be actually, according to him, a problem to call her a shomeret yavam, even though they've slept together, because she's still only a shomeret yavam. She's not fully married to him. So according to Shmuel, it works out just fine. So I understand. So, I mean, that's crazy. You can't say that. Ihachi, so what are you trying to say? That Rav, he said that Yavama is considered to be a total wife because he holds of Rabbi Yoshia. And Shmuel, who says that she's not, he's going like Rabbi Yonatan, which means that we're making a machlokas amoraim, essentially the machlokas tanoim in the Mishnah. We never do that. That can't be the pshat. So how are they going to explain it, Rav and Shmuel? Okay, so let's just review that sugya briefly so that we remember exactly what's going on. It's a little bit of a complex sugya, and it's kedai, I think, for us just to review. Remember that we had a machloket between Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonatan, and the Mishnah ended up going bedavka. The Mishnah that said that both a Shomeret Yavam and an Arusa are excluded from Hashkoyat HaSotah. And it turned out that only Rabbi Yonatan holds that, because we have two psukim, both of which stress that it has to be etachat ishech. One comes at the very end, zot torat hakenaot, and the inyan of isha tachat isha, and the other one is at, but the Kohen tells her at ki sati tachat ishech. So according to Rabbi Yonatan, we have two psukim, one for an arusa, one for shomeret yavam, each of which indicates that she's not included in the dinim of Hashkaya. According to Rabbi Yoshia, the only one that we learn from the pasuk of the Tachat Isheich is the Arusa, but the Shomeret Yavam is actually included because it says Ish Ish. And the reason that he feels that an Arusa is actually less of a wife, according to Rabbi Yoshia, a Shomeret Yavam is basically a wife, because there's no, in this new sense, this was a very important point that we learned last night, that there's two senses of wife. There's the technical sense of wife, which is that she's in a state of Isser to everyone, and that he gave her Kiddushin. That is more true of an Arusa. But there's also a state called Tachat Isheich, which has to do with the relationship and not with the technicalities. And over there, the Tachat Hashech implies that the more she is under his rishus and not under someone else's rishus, the more we're looking at her as a wife. And in that sense, a Shomeret Yavam, there's nothing else that needs to be done. Nobody needs to hand her over into her his rishus. And technically speaking, I mean, we're talking about also the continuation of previous marriage. Now, albeit from the actual definition of marriage in terms of the halacha, that she's asura and everybody else, it's true that she's less asura because there's only an isur lav in sleeping with the Shomeret Yavam. But in terms of this new terminology that the Torah employs over here, which is tachat hasheikh, she's actually more of the Tachat Hashech. And therefore, if there's a ribui of ish, it's going to be marba this case. Okay, so then we had a problem. The problem is we don't need a pasuk to tell me that a woman who has not yet had any intercourse with her husband is not able to drink the mayim ha'ma'orim, because it says that. It says that mibal adei sheikh, somebody who slept with you besides your husband, if her husband never slept with her, which is ostensibly the case with a shomeret yavam, and in the case of an arusa. So anyway, we don't need a pasuk because there's no mibal adei sheikh. To that, the Gemara answered, well, we'll have to be talking about that actually they did sleep together. So even though they weren't supposed to, and it's not nice, but it's not considered to be a bia asura that would prevent the bayim from being baidek. So as a chosin and kala, so to speak, in our terms, I mean, in the Gemara's terms, it's much more than that. As an arus and an arusa, they were sleeping together while she was still at home. Fine. But then the Gemara had a big problem because a shomeret yavam, which is the alternative case to the arusa, in other words, it's the equivalent case that we're juxtaposing to the arusa, in that circumstance where they had been sleeping together, the Gemara says, well, then she's not considered to be a shomeret yavam, she's a yavama. Because once he sleeps with his yavama, I don't care if they didn't realize that they were engaged in yibum and they just thought they were having fun, because the din is that, according to Rav, she becomes fully his yavama at that instant. Intercourse is all that counts, not why it is that you're together. And so it wouldn't make any sense, because then if we're talking about she's already slept with him, then she's a yavama, not a shomeret yavam. And if we're talking about that they hadn't slept together, we don't need a pasuk, because the pasuk says only someone who has had relations with her husband is able to now drink the mayim in order to see that she is not an adulteress. So something is messed up. So the Gemara answered that, well, it would work out very well according to Shmuel, because Shmuel says that even though he slept with her, he disagrees with Rav. He says it's true that for certain things she's considered to be a Yavama. For instance, whether he is able to give her a get, and he doesn't need chalitza. Yes. And in terms of whether he takes over the property of her original husband, yes. But about anything else, let's say if he's a Kohen, can he feed her truma? No, says Shmuel. If he's a Kohen, would he go to her funeral? No, says Shmuel. If he's a Kohen, would he be yorei sure if she dies? I'm sorry, if he's anybody, would he be yorei sure if she dies? No, says Shmuel. Okay, so according to Shmuel, things work out okay, because then it's possible for there to be a woman who's called a Shomeret Yavam instead of the Yavama. And she already had been sleeping with this guy. And since it wasn't l'shem ishut, they were just sleeping together for fun, so she's not fully his wife. And because of that, the Mishnah says that the Shomeret Yavam is not shota because of this new reason. That's where we had left. So now the obvious question is, we cannot have a machlokas amoroyim between Rav and Shmuel being the basis of the machlokas between these two tanoim that reflect the sheet of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yonatan, according to whom our Mishnah is going, who has a pasuk to tell me that both a shomeret yavam and an arusa does not drink, versus Rabbi Yoshia, who says, no, only an arusa does not drink, but a shomeret yavam is included because of ish. So then how can you say that? That what? That Shmuel, he's the one that basically is saying that the Mishnah works out. So he's going like Rabbi Yonatan. And you're telling me that Rav is going only like Rabbi Yoshia, because according to Rav, there's no such thing as a Shomeret Yavam who has already slept with her Yavam. That's where we were up to. So now, obviously, Rav is going to have to explain himself according to both Shitas, And Shmuel's going to have to explain himself according to both shitas, because we do not ever accept the fact that Amoraim would be arguing based on an ancient machlokas Tanoim. I mean, and just say what it is that they said. Don't make this your own new shita. Okay, so therefore says the Gemara, we're still finishing up last night, therefore says the Gemara, that actually Rav would say, I absolutely, let's see that inside. Omer lecha Rav, three lines up from the bottom, Chavtala Nomad Beis. Omer lecha Rav, Anadamri Afilu L'Rabbi Yonatan. No, it's not true. I could work out perfectly well according to Rabbi Yonatan, even though my shita is that this woman, who is a Shomeret Yavam, is considered to be a real Yavama in every single way. And nonetheless, I could hold like Rabbi Yonatan, who says that we still consider her not to be able to be Shota. Because that's the point. I mean, why do you think, says Rav, that Rabbi Yonatan needs this pasuk to say that she does not drink and she's not considered to be Tachat Ishech in the same way? So that implies that if not for that pasuk, I would have said, well, she's completely his wife. Why in the world would she not drink? So if anything, it works out fine, according to me. Says Rav, says Rashi, yeah, that's all very nice. But what the Gemara is saying is that Rav works out for sure according to Rabbi Yoshia, but that isn't true. Because if what Rav is saying now is that she's considered to be his wife, why would Rabbi Yoshia need a pasuk to tell me ish to include even a Shomeret Yavam? Why not? I need a pasuk to tell me something that Rav just said that Rabbi Yonatan needs a pasuk to tell me the opposite of. Something's messy over here. Well, says Rashi, what that means is that Ein Hachinami, according to Rav, Rabbi Yoshia didn't really need the pasuk. It was only an asmachta, because, I mean, obviously, she is his wife in every way. If they have been sleeping together, I don't care what their purposes and intent were. Now, Tosra says, no, that's not true. That still the deal is, I would still need a pasuk. Why? Because remember that the issue of whether they are married technically, says Tosra, is not the big issue. The issue of here is whether she's considered to be Tachat Ishech. And that has implications. One of the implications, which we discussed yesterday, is the question of whether you still need Monsieur Lechopa. Is it under his general rishos? But another implication of that is that they have been viewing each other as man and wife. Tachat Ishech. So you're telling me, okay, but I mean, she's completely married to him in every way. If he's a Kohen, he gives her truma, so on and so forth. So what? That's a technicality. It's here that the Torah is using this new terminology of Tachat Ishech. So I may certainly have thought that the meaning of Tachat Ishech is that you view each other as man and wife. Now, if you've just been sleeping together for fun and you don't view yourself as man and wife, and you never realize that you are actually Bekayim, the mitzvah of Yibum, and now you're fully married, so then that's not Tachat Ishech. That's what I would have thought. So because of that, I still need a pasuk to be marbe ish, you see? So that still makes sense, says Tosfos. Why does Rashi have to say, well, he doesn't really mean it, it's his machto b'yalme, he uses it for something else? Not true. The same thing is true as we continue, v'shmuel, let's continue now on to the top of Amud Aleph. And Shmuel, of course, will say, I say that, look, even though I hold that they're not fully married, and therefore you would say, okay, so that means that according to you, she's not your wife, so then why can she drink according to Rabbi Yoshia? No, that's the point. Because, look, the very fact that Rabbi Yoshia needs a pasuk to be marba, that this is a special case, because of the unusual circumstances in which she's considered to be married in so many different ways, anything that's written in the parsha, she doesn't eat chalitza, he inherits the brother, and so on. So that's the very point, isn't it? If I need a pasuk to be marba her, it's clear that she isn't really a full wife, which is exactly what I say, and that in Fisa Kohen, he would not give her truma. That's the whole point. So now it works out, according to me, very well. Now we have exactly the same problem, that if that is the case, the implications are it would work out even according to Rabbi Yoshia. But according to Rabbi Yonatan, it works out for sure. Why does it work out for sure? Rabbi Yonatan says that you actually need a pasuk to be mamayet her. Well, how does Shmuel explain that? She's not really his wife. So why do we need a pasuk to be mamayed her? That doesn't make any sense. So that must be that he doesn't really need the pasuk, says Rashi. It's just an esbach to be alma. And here again, Tosfos argues. It says, what do you mean? We don't need the pasuk? Of course we need the pasuk. Because look, when we were talking about kinoi and we were talking about stira, so there were two different issues, and hashkoya, sorry. So we have two different issues. We said you could be mekana, and we said that you cannot be mashka. You're going to have to explain to me why the equivalent language in those two cases, what does it say when it talks about bringing a wife to the bezdin? Vehevi ha'ish et ishto. And what does it say when it talks about the stira and so on to his kinoi? Kisati tachat isheich. It's the same language. So where do you know that we have a right to distinguish between the kinui and the hashkoya? I don't see that unless you have a special pasuk. That's the point. So when we say that Shmuel for sure works out according to Rabbi Yonatan, that doesn't mean that the pasuk is irrelevant. The pasuk is very relevant because we need to show that there's a difference in the relationship of the vehevia ish et ishto to the hashkaya than the case of the actual stira, and maybe that's called tachat ishech. That's the point. So according to Tosfos, we have very good reason to require both of these psukim. According to Shmuel, Reb Yonatan would still need the pasuk. According to Rav, Reb Yosha would actually still need the pasuk, and we don't have to come on to this all of a sudden saying that we didn't really mean the psukim that we said before.